we're starting up, Jerry. We're starting up.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Hi. This is Chris Newton with Travel Advice Show. We are a radio show on blogtalkradio.com. And I'd like to introduce my co-host, Jerry. How you doing,
Hi.
Jerry?
Hi. Very good. How are you, Chris?
Oh, doing good. Yeah, looking forward to a great show. Yeah. It's I guess today our main one of our topics that we're going to talk about is about cruises. You know, about a variety of different types of cruises that you can go on. You know, from small, really small ships to big ships. So anything related with water, being on the water, have your vacation on the water there. But you know what, Jerry? I just want to let everybody know, you know, that this is a live show right now, and they can call in at 646-915-9715. So we can answer your questions, any questions that you might have, you know, regarding travel. You know, we can advise you on your trip and
yeah, it doesn't have to be on cruises. You call on any topic that you like. We're just going to have as main topic as cruise, but if you have another destination in mind that you want to go, please give us a call.
Yes. Yeah. Any destination around the world. Yeah. And but yeah. Hey, Jerry. We received some emails about people. I guess they can't make the time right now, the live show, but they want to kind of they asked a few questions. You mind if I'll just share a few? We have two questions here. And the first question is that this husband and wife, they're going on their 40th anniversary. Ooh. So that's a big day. And they're going to Banff, Canada. They're around June 2nd, and they like to find out what to look for, where to stay, and they're going to spend 4 full days in the area, and they're on a moderate budget, and they can't afford the Banff Hot Springs Resort, I guess. And So that kind of gives us a little feel on what type of trip they're planning. Do you have any advice, Jerry, on that?
Well, 4 days in the Banff area is really quite short for most people, but you can see it because Banff itself is a very small town. You can see all of Banff in probably an hour, practically walking the main street. But the things around it and going up to Lake Louise, which is maybe a 30, 45-minute drive north of it, you can spend a week up there. There's tons of things to do. He had mentioned in the email some things to do also. But basically, you got to do the gondola ride up the peak. And while you're at Lake Louise, if you're going to stay in Lake Louise, be sure you take the long drive up to the Columbia Ice Fields, because that's quite unique. It's a glacier that's up there that you can see. And also in the Banff area, the Yoho Valley Trail is fabulous hiking. And their hot springs, the Cypress Hot Springs, are kind of fun to go out there and sit in those things for a while. And they've got some beautiful trails through the mountains and around Lake Louise. There's a lake called Lake Louise. That's where the town got its name, where the area got its name. And you can hike around there in one day or part of it or 2 days or whatever you'd like to do. And by all means, go to the Chateau Lake Louise Hotel and have lunch there at least, because the view out of that hotel, of that lake and the mountains in the background surrounding it is fantastic. I mean, it's just a fact. Have you been to that area yet, Chris?
I never have, but I've seen a lot of pictures, actually. A lot of my family have been there. In fact, I think my grandparents maybe went there on their anniversary, too, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it seems like maybe a popular destination for, you know, people that want to have beauty. And I heard the water is, like, crystal blue. It's like a glacier water, Lake Louise.
Yeah,
like,
it's spectacular. And the way the mountains reflect in it, I mean, it's absolutely spectacular. Hotel that most people want to stay in, not because it's the best there, because I think there are some that are probably better, but everybody wants the second floor lake view rooms at the Chateau Lake Louise Hotel, because as you look out there and see the lake, it's spectacular. As you just walk out of the hotel into the garden area, it's fantastic. But on hotels, in Lake Louise, most people want the Chateau Lake Louise, as I said, but it's usually full unless you book up months in advance. And another hotel that's fantastic, that's quite a ways away, it's called the Post Hotel. And the Post Hotel is a magnificent hotel. Beautiful views, magnificent area, but it's not near the lake. I think it's about 15 miles away or something. I don't know distances up there. It just takes you about 20, 30 minutes to get there. But it's great. But they do have the second hotel that I like, if you want to go more budget, I like the Deer Lodge. I like the Deer Lodge. It's real nice location, and it's good. It's a budget hotel, and there's nothing wrong with it. And also the Lake Louise Inn. We've been there. I've never stayed there, but I have toured it, and I like it. My staff like it, too. And down in Banff, everybody wants the Banff Springs Hotel. And it's a magnificent hotel. It's old. It's one of the old railroad hotels built, I don't know, 100 years ago or something. And the setting is spectacular. I mean, it's the only golf course I know of in the world where the elk and the moose and the bear have the right-of-way. you let them go by and you have to wait. But, I mean, it's spectacular. And the hotel is very, I don't know, I want to say gothic looking. It's just huge and massive and lots of concrete stairs that are huge. It's fabulous hotels. The only bad thing about the hotel that I found the numerous times I've stayed there is that you can, let's say, stay at a moderate price or medium price room, and you can have rooms that are huge, wonderful views, or you can have microscopic rooms that hardly have big enough room for the dresser and the bed in it for two people, and the same price. So the consistency of the rooms are not consistent. So I don't like that. And but I stay there anyway. I get deluxe rooms, and I'd always like to look over the golf course because it's generally on the opposite side of the driveway where you drive into the thing where the buses, tour buses come in and all that, so the noise is there. But you can look out over the river and things. It's spectacular. And but there are some cheaper hotels. And right downtown is the Best Western Hotel, the Siding 29 Lodge. It's the Best Western. I mean, what can you say? It's a good hotel. Nothing wrong with it. And the Dynasty Inn is another good hotel. There's nothing cheap about anywhere in Banff, particularly high season, which, of course, is the summer. So you will pay for it. But it's great. Banff and Lake Louise are magnificent.
Do you recommend, Jerry, to make a reservation prior, like a couple months before? You know,
If you're going to hit a biggie hotel, well, any of them in June, July, and August, you'd better book them as soon as you can. Chateau Lake Louise and Banff Springs and the Post Hotel, you should book them a year in advance.
Oh, really? Okay, they're very popular.
If you want the room category that you want, and if you want the view that you want, you book it way in advance to get it. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, I think that's a great. So those are some great options, some different price ranges, and also kind of the different locations. How far? It seems like the farther you are, you might get a better value, but you maybe won't be with the scenery as much.
I mean, in these places, I mean, the reason you go there is for the scenery. And good restaurants and nightlife and all that, but particularly in Banff, but you go for the scenery, and you might as well pay the money and have the view. Because it's worth it. When you wake up in the morning, look out there and say, my crud, I am here in Banff, and I am here in Lake Louise.
That sounds great. Well, I guess
you'd better get on with the cruise.
Oh, sure, sure. Oh, we have one more question here about us. There's a woman who likes to go. She lives in Buenos Aires in Argentina, and she wants to go to Brazil, to this one region. I have a hard time pronouncing it there.
Florianópolis. Florianópolis.
Yeah.
It's sort of the Brazilian Hawaii, if that's what you want, or the Mexican Cancun. It's an island that's right off the mainland. It's really close to the mainland. It's a few hundred yards or half mile or something. But it's I've been there twice, and it is fabulous. I mean, it is very, very hilly and mountainous. It's beautiful. They must have, 50 magnificent white sand beaches. They've got some little dumpy places there, and some beaches are not quite as good. But it's a great destination to go for beach. And they have all kinds of water things to do. And now, in her email, she wanted to know some other stuff to do that we like. And, I mean, there's so many beaches. You can stay a month there, and there's a different beach every day. But we like to go to Costa da Lagoa. Costa da Lagoa. I know I'm not saying it correctly because I don't speak Portuguese. But it is. It has waterfalls and magnificent scenery.
That's great.
It's just a ride off from there. And another place is the Campeche Island. We love Campeche Island. It's like if you went to Cancun and you went to Isla de Mujeres, it's about 2-hour boat ride away, and almost nobody there, comparatively speaking. Beautiful beaches, very isolated, and just a neat place to go, and peace and quiet, and good beaches. We also like a place that is called the Ribeirão da Icha. I had to write all this down, because I can never pronounce these, because I don't speak Portuguese. But the Ribeirão da Icha, I-C-H-A. And this is a town on the island, Florianópolis. It's probably the most quaint town. You basically get there by boat or walking in, usually. And the architecture is very old and very rustic. And I don't want to say primitive, it isn't, but it feels like an old sleepy town. Like if you went to Hawaii and you went to Maui and you went over the Hana, it's sort of the Hana of the island. It's sort of original and laid back. And the beach, I think, is kind of crummy right downtown. It's a very small village, but it's interesting. You might as well go there and see it if you can get a boat, get over. And the Iagoa, I-A-G-O-A, da Peri. It's a freshwater, P-E-R-I, Peri. And that is a freshwater lagoon that is an ecological site. And,
okay.
It's sort of a place that you go walking around and the trails. And it's wonderful. It's absolutely beautiful. It's not touristy at all. And the Brazilian government is very wise to keep it. It's not a national park, but it's on that idea. And it's really worth it. Yeah.
Sounds like a great place for a vacation. Yeah, just to kind of relax and get away.
In fact,
yeah.
People who like to get away to different type islands, island lovers, that's where I go because I love the sun and the tropics and beaches. And it's a nice place to go. I recommend anybody go down there. It's a little touristy in many ways, but you can get away from it in a heartbeat. That's why I like it.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
All right. Now, cruises. All right. Let's talk about cruises.
Yeah.
Well, I want to start out with I don't like the word cruises. The reason I don't is because there's so many variations of it, and they can be cruises, but they may be really wonderful ferry boats and different adventure boats. And because most people think of a cruise as a thing where you will have four different restaurants and party until 2 o'clock in the morning or 4 in the morning and eat 10 meals a day and all of this. And there are, and I call it water travel. I like the term water travel, and as part of it is the big cruise line that most people think of as cruises. And I want to talk about where to be on it. My wife and I have been on many, many cruises. My wife has even been on more than I have because she loves cruises. And we like to be in the middle. On most ships, there are exceptions, but most ships, in other words, go from the take the length of the ship, and you want to be in the middle third, the middle third of the ship. So one third of the ship is ahead of you, and one third of the ship is back, and just take the middle third, and anywhere in the middle third is okay. We also like, in most cases, to be in the middle of the ship from top to bottom. We like to be in the middle. We have found in most cases, now there are some exceptions, like on adventure cruises where you only hold 80 people. That's different. It doesn't matter where you are in most cases. But on a big cruise, that's where we want to be. We want to be in the middle from top to bottom, and we want to be in the middle third. And we don't want to be anywhere near the elevator or stairs because of the drunks there at 3 o'clock in the morning. There's going to be one of them. We don't want that. And we also don't want to have an inside cabin. Many people love inside cabins, but my wife and I can't stand them. We always say, go spend two nights in your master closet at home and then decide if you want an inside cabin. Because they don't have footholds.
You feel really claustrophobic in one of those.
Well, I do. We do, very much so. But we don't want them. I don't care if they're free. We don't want it. And the more we travel on a cruise, we want a balcony and we want a bigger room. Because if you're on a cruise more than a week, you want more room. And now we're on length of cruises, I highly suggest that a week is about as short as you really want to go. It takes you a week to get comfortable with the ship, to know the ship, to start to feel what's happening. We like 10 to 12 days. we prefer a 10 to 12 day cruise because, to me, I'm not the world's greatest cruise lover. About the 12th day, I'm ready to get off that thing. My wife is up on it for the rest of her life, but 12 days is long for me, but 14 days is torture for me. I've been on several 14, 21-day cruises, and I don't think I'll ever do that again. At least I don't want to. But 12 days is my max, and I like 10. 10 to 12 is good. You can start to relax. You feel like you're not wasting time if you step back and read a book, and you start to relax, and that's the way to do it. One thing we need to talk about is how you determine what cruise to take. It's hard to really decide if you've never been on one. I recommend for first-time cruisers that have never been on a real cruise, you know, the big ones, I recommend Royal Caribbean Cruise Line. Get one of their bigger ships on Royal Caribbean Cruise Line and cruise on it. Take a 7 to 10 day cruise on it and get in the middle third, and what we've talked about, and get one with the balcony if you can possibly swing it. And Royal Caribbean, in my opinion, is the best first time cruise ship there is, because nothing is superlative and nothing is bad. It's all very, very, very good. So you'll decide if you like to go for nightlife, because there's some that are better nightlife, like Carnival Cruise Line, that's party. And then there's some, I mean, their nightlife is very, very good, but it's not the best. And their food is very, very good, but it is not the best. And their cabins are excellent, but they're not the best or the largest. And so everything on it, is, and their activities, I mean, some of them have ice skating rinks, but some have rock climbing walls, and some have miniature golf. I mean, on and on and on. So you get a feel for what you like. And if you want to spend more time in the exotic ports, then you will take a different ship that specializes in exotic ports, like maybe the Windjammer cruises or something like that. So get on the Royal Caribbean, and I don't recommend doing the Mexican Riviera your first time because it's all Mexico. Get on one that goes to different countries, maybe the Caribbean, and get a feel for it. If you like different things on the ship, then you go the next time on a ship that is better at that. But most people just get on Royal Caribbean and stay on it because they do a fantastic job at everything they do.
All right. So,
now, another thing that we have found is that 50% of the people in the world don't like cruising, no matter what people say. Hey, I'm one of them. I hate cruises. I abhor them. I can't stand them. My wife is of the 50% that worships them. She literally had her way. She would get off one cruise and get on another. In fact, she says if she outlives me, she's going to get on a cruise ship and just buy a cabin for a whole year. And every year, buy a cabin on a cruise ship and stay on that cruise ship all the time and just get a different ship every year and just buy the cabin. And that's going to be her official address, is that cruise line. She'll keep one place, maybe an apartment or a condo somewhere, and as a legal U.S. address, but she'll be on that ship every year change. I would consider that torture.
What are some of the reasons why, Jerry, you know that she likes cruises so much? You know, is there anything
she
in particular that she...
is because she packs and unpacks once.
Oh,
she likes the idea of a lot of restaurants and
and
activities, and she can prearrange what she wants to do, and there's some shopping, and she meets tons of people. My wife is a great socialite. And it's really kind of fun to travel with her because I prefer the ships that have a single sitting. In other words, you can eat any time you want from, say, 6 to 9 or whatever, and any table you want. And my wife prefers to have early sitting. Some ships have two, like 5:30 or 6 sitting, another, like, say, at 8 o'clock. And she likes the earlier ones, and she likes tables with 8 to 10 people. And I tell you, in the first night, we're all swapping food. She is wonderful at getting people to break the ice, and we're all sitting all the different tables, not all with our spouses, and I mean, sitting around the table and trying different food. And I mean, it's really a lot of fun. I have to admit, she is fun to travel with. But I like the single sitting where you can eat anytime you want. Sometimes I don't want to have to eat between 6 and 8 or what, 5:30 and 7 or whatever. And but she likes that. And so she loves ships. I hate ships for this same opposite reason. I don't go on the ship. I don't travel to meet the people on the ship. I go to meet the people where I'm going. I do not like to spend 6 to 8, 10 hours in a port. I want to go and meet the people. I want to spend time and, you know, at night and see the sunset there and see the people at night and talk around and try different restaurants and get a feel for it. And I don't like organized fun. If I want to do something one day, I'll do it. If I don't, I'll just lie by the beach or pool or whatever. Or I'll rent a car or motorbike or whatever and speed around. And I'm that kind of person. I want to snoop around. And she likes to do it, too, when she's in port, but she can do much more in 8 hours than I can. And so we're just very opposite in cruises. I take a cruise primarily, and that's my wife forces me to, because it's the only or the best way to do it. For example, we're going on the Norwegian Coastal Ferry voyage, which is in June, which starts in Bergen and goes up to Kirkenes and come back. We're doing 11 days on this ferry, and it's more like a Greyhound bus and the post office. People go from point A to point B, the locals, because there's no roads or airports. And we're doing that because I've been to the major places before by air, and we're doing it because she has never been to Norway, and she wants to see this area, and it's a fabulous way to do it. It's the only way to really experience the fjords and the peoples and the small villages and things of Norway. It's a magnificent trip. 11 days for me is a long time. You can go one way up and one way back. We're going to do the round trip. I recommend going up from Bergen to Kirkenes and flying back for your first time. But, you know, that's the type of ferry that you can get on. The Alaskan ferry is another magnificent way to see Alaska in a very different way. It doesn't stop. It's not touristing. But, you know, let's talk about adventure cruises. They're very different, too. Their ships, like Quark, Q-U-A-R-K, and Lindblad, and Special Expeditions, Society Expeditions, there are several companies that do it. And they only take, say, 80 people, maybe 100 people back.
Oh, and, nice. Okay, they got a size. Okay.
Yeah, they're much smaller. And, in fact, Quark even has a helicopter on board, and they fly you into Antarctica, or they fly you to on the ice of the magnetic pole and the North Pole. And they, Quark is a fantastic thing. Very expensive. But it's very unique, and it is not for everybody. But it's a unique experience to get in a helicopter and fly over the ice and see the polar bears and stuff. And quite a thing. But these adventure ships, I like adventure ships because they have an opportunity for you to really do it. They don't go to the main cities. They mainly go where there's nobody. And you pull in and get in Zodiacs and speed around and go pet the whales and swim with the dolphins and go into the jungles. And I mean, Lindblad Expeditions, Lindblad, does a magnificent adventure trip to Alaska. They generally start in Juneau and go up and down. And it's one and start and end in Juneau usually. But it's fabulous. And there are others that are wonderful. So consider it an adventure cruise. Everybody knows everybody by first name before it's over. There's a single sitting, and you become family. And it's really fun. It's a unique experience. Another thing that we should talk about is people that want to do river cruising.
Now, like on a barge kind of thing? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a barge or a paddle wheeler or a sort of a luxury yacht type thing. You can river cruise all over the place. I mean, the St. Lawrence Seaway is a phenomenal cruise. I mean, most people start in, like, Quebec City or end in Quebec and or Quebec area and will end up their start in Boston and go up to Newfoundland and to Quebec and the Gaspé area. It's a wonderful cruise, absolutely magnificent. And you can even do some of the rivers down in Kingston, Canada. They go bopping up to Montreal, over to Ottawa, and they're beautiful, laid back. In May, my wife and I did one on the Columbia River. We went all the way from Astoria, near the Pacific, all the way to Hell's Canyon, which borders Idaho and Oregon. We rode the jet boat, and that was a week trip that was fantastic. Laid back, it had probably 200 people on board, and really neat. And you can do all kinds of rivers in Europe. Some of the lines actually will take you all the way from the Netherlands down to the Black Sea in a very long trip going through canals and different rivers. My favorite river in Europe to do, and it's hard to say that, and we've done it a couple of times, is down through a Germany part of the Rhine River. We like to start maybe in Cologne area and go on down to Strasbourg or somewhere in Germany. And that's a fan. Or you can start in Busan, I know, Dessau, Germany, and end up in Vienna. That is a fabulous trip. And it, make sure it includes a trip to Budapest, and it comes back and drops you off in Vienna. It's wonderful. And so it's, there's all kinds of river trips. The most famous one in America, of course, is the Mississippi. And there are three or four ships that do that. You can either barge it along there, which is a unique experience, or you can paddle wheel it. And there's probably 10 rivers in America, in U.S. America, that you can riverboat on. So there's such options of that. So don't ever just think that you have to go on a real cruise. Now, there's also yacht. You can go yacht. And the most famous places are the Caribbean and Greece, around the Mediterranean, part of Greece and Turkey, and the turquoise coast. And they can be quite expensive, but you can get yachts that you even having helicopters on them. If you have a family, a reunion, it might be a very viable experience to charter your own yacht and bop around the islands of Greece. Wonderful, wonderful experience.
Hmm. That's great, Jerry. Yeah, God, like there's so many options out there, you know, and so many like rivers and more island hopping, and then like long excursions or ferry rides, you know, that you can, you know, like, the one in Norway there, the one that you guys are going on, is that some of those cities, I think that's the only access to get to those cities, right, in those fjord areas, is taking a ferry to the city, and that's the only way of getting transportation, right, or one
it
of the
few, in 11 days, I think we visit 34 ports, I think it is.
Oh my
some of
gosh.
Them are like 15 minutes, and some are like 6 or 7 hours. And the ones you hit, mainly, the ones you hit at night going, you hit them in the day coming back. That's why my wife wants to do a round trip to see the whole thing.
Oh, no.
And some of them you hit daytime both times. But, oh, one thing that I love with a passion, and it's not for everybody, it only holds a very small number of people, it's doing the Gota, G-O-T-A, or the Yuta, something I cannot speak Swedish, but the Gota Canal from Gothenburg to Stockholm. And I know on a previous one we discussed it a little, but that is one of the most fabulous ways of seeing the interior of Sweden. If no matter what kind of travel you're doing through Scandinavia, just board it in Gothenburg and get off in Stockholm. That's my favorite direction. So I think it's kind of neat to come through the ocean. And the ocean there, and you come up into the islands of Stockholm. Wonderful to see that.
Well, great. Well, hey, Jerry, it looks like we're almost out of time here.
Oh, my word, isn't it?
With the cruises, yeah, that's great. Yeah, like it went by. I mean, like there's so much to touch on, I think, you know, and and I'm really happy we went over kind of like just a good intro, I think, and kind of making you think that, you know, that there's other options out there. And I'm really happy we got to answer those two questions there. And feel free to call in. Like, this is a live show here on blogtalkradio.com. Travel Advice is the name of the show. And today is January 29th, right? God, January, it's flying by already.
What is our topic next week?
The next week, let me see. I think we have, let me double check here and see what that is. Let me find out. I think it's European travel, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Yeah, all about, you know, we can just kind of talk about, like, the good intro for European travel. And, let me double-check here real quick here.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I don't have a list here with me.
Yep. Yeah, European travel. Yep. Yeah, we'll give insight on that. February 5th, Monday there. So that's the first show of February there. And so we'll kind of talk about, you know, the different ways of traveling through Europe and kind of, you know, just to give you some good local tips. And that's the area that I'm more familiar with, actually. I've traveled pretty extensively in Europe. And so, yeah. Sounds good.
Well, very good. Well, we'll see you next week, Chris.
Okay, Jerry. Great. Well, hey, it was a great show, and I'm gonna try to book a cruise right now, maybe. You know, and just get in some warm weather. I'm a little chilly today. It's cold.
Utah's been miserable, hasn't it?
Yeah. Gosh, I know. But what sounds good, Jerry. Well, looking forward to next week, and everybody out there, all the listeners, thank you so much for your support. And yeah, it's been great. This is our 8th show right now, our 8th episode, and next week will be our 9th. Yeah, so we're starting to do some more shows. Yeah, that's great.
Okay. We'll see you next week.
Okay, Jerry. Sounds good. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.